This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Shazana Mukhtar. MoneyLion is a New York Stock Exchange-listed digital finance company with Malaysian roots. One of its co-founders is Malaysian, and MoneyLion has an office in KL alongside New York, San Francisco, and Salt Lake City. So how did a Malaysian technologist get involved in creating an American fintech platform? And is Asia the next market for expansion? Joining me to connect the dots is MoneyLion co-founder and chief technology officer, Fung Chi Man. Chi Man, welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Thanks for having me, Shazana.
With a name like MoneyLion, I think one could be forgiven for associating the brand with a Singaporean fintech startup. However, contrary to first impressions, MoneyLion is US-based and it is described as a super app for hardworking Americans. So what drove you to set up MoneyLion? What kind of gap were you looking to fill in the US financial markets?
We started it at the tail end of the housing bubble financial crisis, and we saw that a lot of the big banks are retreating from the middle Americans. So we just thought that there is a vacuum there. We just want to provide a private banking experience, so to say, a private banking services to most of the middle income people in the United States. And the reason why the big banks are retreating from this market is not because they want to retreat from the market. It's simply because it becomes increasingly expensive to serve the middle income with a lot of services that generally are ran in a very traditional way. Our thesis is that what we want to do is to continuously provide these thesis by leveraging the forefront of technology and artificial intelligence. So that's the main thesis when we started the company.
Maybe you can help me understand, how does that work then? It was too expensive for the big banks. How does leveraging technology and AI help reduce those costs for a fintech platform like yourself?
When MoneyLion first started, we know that we wanted to provide a wealth of services to our users. So we started with credit, which is mainly the main way most banks make money anyway. So we started writing loans, right? From the first day, we bought some data, and we have machine learning models that sort of predict the creditworthiness of our users. We were using those scores for our human underwriter to decide if we should fund those loans or credit or not. This was about 2.5 years into the company, or 3 years into the company. And we had a team of about 60 human underwriters using together about 5 or 6 machine learning scores to underwrite our users. And we realized that if you want to grow the business by 5% or 10%, we need 5 or 10% more human underwriter. So we just thought that it's running the HR program can be reasonably daunting for us. So we figured, like, hey, let's just take the top 20% that the human always agree with the machines and automatically underwrite those guys. We did that, and the result of it was encouraging. The underwriting becomes more consistent, and essentially we needed 20% less human underwriter, but we were managed to write 20% more loans. So within a length of about 8 months, we completely revamp our underwriting to be entirely using AI instead of human at all. So that was when we let go our last human underwriter. So at this point, MoneyLion, all of our credit were underwritten 100% without human underwriters and entirely using artificial intelligence. But since then, our loan book grew about 50 to 100 times simply because you don't have to deal with hiring more human. And all you need to do is to develop a better AI model to keep up with time and also to increase your AWS bill. And if you think about it, like when the loan volume increased about 100 times, right? So at the time that we have 60 human underwriter, then you're talking about 6,000 human to underwrite the kind of volume that we are underwriting right now. Instead of having to employ the 6,000 human underwriter, what we did was we hire 10 data scientists to come up with the AI models. With this kind of saving, we are able to pass the saving back to the consumer. And that's why we are able to offer a lot of services that generally were way too expensive for most traditional banks to offer.
That's interesting. I'm going to stick on this theme of workforce before we get into the services that you offer. And a sizable segment of your workforce is actually based here in Kuala Lumpur. Does that also help with the cost in the sense that a majority of your workforce is centered here where costs are cheaper?
Yes, it definitely helps. 90% of our software engineering workforce are in KL, and 100% of our artificial intelligence workforce are in KL. And the truth is that when we first started the KL office, it was because my wife was pregnant and she wanted to be near the family. After we hired like a few engineers, we just decided like the depth of talent in Kuala Lumpur is deep. Mm-hmm. And we will be able to grow into a much significant workforce here. As you can see, right now, I think we have about 260 or 270 engineers and data scientists that are based in Kuala Lumpur. So the cost of it is very competitive. But I think much more importantly, as a CTO who have hired in Silicon Valley and in New York, the talent level, the availability of talent level is extremely important as well.
That is interesting. So you're saying that you don't find it a challenge to attract and retain Malaysian talent here. You do have a pool that's available for you.
It's always challenging wherever you hire. I don't care if you're hiring in Chicago, Silicon Valley, or New York, or Kuala Lumpur. It's always a challenge. But I'm just saying that it is not a lot more challenging than any other market that I have recruited.
Okay. I'm going to turn our attention to the services that you provide. And the U.S. digital finance space is brimming with players of every size and offering. You know, you've got the big names like Stripe and Chime. American consumers are essentially spoilt for choice. So what sets MoneyLion apart as a neobank?
There are multiple, as you know, it's a multiple type of competitors. And a lot of these competitors, they focus on one very specific service. We think finance is something that is not just about, you know, specific loan that you have or specific investment that you have. We think that finance is about life, right? Which means that in order to cater to your life, there should be multiple tools that are afforded to you through a single platform so that you don't have to search across like five apps to manage your finance. So we think that building the most diverse ecosystem of tools within the platform will be the way to win in the market. And that's if you look at our recent acquisition of a content provider and a embedded finance player, it shows that what we want to do is to be able to assist the lives of our users rather than specific financial product itself.
So you are really looking to offer like a suite of services all in one place, like a one-stop platform for any type of financial transaction that users are looking to do.
That's correct.
Where is MoneyLion's development as a super app? Have you achieved the full range of products that you envision the platform to have? How far away from you are you from that target?
I think with any super app player tells you is that you will never be complete. Because you're talking about like catering to every single aspect of a person's life, right? So we're still far away from achieving it yet. We are one of the most complete suites of tools for the middle Americans as of now. Mm. So, but again, it's something that we'll work on continuously and ferociously for the next few years at least.
What are your most popular products among the current lineup that you have? You have quite a few offerings. You've got the loans, you've got the credit management, you've got the robo-advisor. Which product has the most take-up?
I think it's because of the nature of financial products. Our saving account is the most popular one simply because you sort of need like the saving account to interact with any of our other products, right? You have like this short-term cash advances product that is extremely popular as well. It's a very high frequency usage. This ties into the extreme automation using artificial intelligence that we do. So the design of the product is extremely unique because we realize that a general American consumer runs into credit crunch 3 months out of a year. So which means the other 9 months, they have money to save, they have money to spend. And it's only the 3 months that is problematic. And a lot of times when these kind of like middle income consumers need help in the 3 months, they were presented with high APR credit. So what we thought is that, hey, let's come up with a product, right, that we can underwrite a user based on their real-time income and real-time spending. Because of the growth in like gig economy worker and hourly worker in the United States, and then similarly in Malaysia as well and across the world, that the income is extremely fluid. And when you work more, we think that you deserve a higher amount of credit. And be able to do that in such a way that is scalable and also in such a way that is real time. And with that, we thought also, okay, instead of having a certain APR for the users, let's just have the user to decide how much they want to pay in such a way that they will not be incurred of unreasonable APR that they will never be able to pay it back. So that's how we came up with a product, a cash advance product that you can have like almost an instantaneous $50 loans that a lot of times when people take these kind of loans is when they're filling up the petrol and then they use the loan to pay for the petrol. These are the kind of real-time usage that we find ourselves not just be the benefactor of this extreme innovation, but we also design products specifically with these kind of capabilities.
So you mentioned the types of products that most people tend to go to because it's easy, because it helps in their everyday, day-to-day life. What are your margins like for the different products in terms of the range that you have? You know, which product is the most lucrative? So you might have a lot of people taking up your instant cash, but does that offer the greatest margins?
That's a good question. And in fact, like even within the way that we build product is that we build specifically for very small segmentations, even within like InstaCash or even within our saving account. We offer product slightly differently for different segmentation of the users, and the margin of it differs significantly across different segmentation, even within a single product.
I see.
And as of this point, a big part of our revenue comes from InstaCash and raw money as well. As you know, the American financial ecosystem is that the interchange revenue can be reasonably lucrative as well. And that's why raw money can be a pretty lucrative product. And you're talking about like other products such as crypto that can be reasonably lucrative as well.
I'm speaking to MoneyLion co-founder Fung Chi Mun. When we come back, is MoneyLion looking to conquer Asia? Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Thanks for staying tuned to the Breakfast Grill. I'm Shazana Mokhtar. Joining me on the show today is Fung Chi Mun, Chief Technology Officer and co-founder of MoneyLion, a US-based digital finance services platform. Chibud, MoneyLion was listed on the New York Stock Exchange back in September with an IPO price of around $10, giving it a valuation of $2.9 billion. Congratulations on this milestone, and you pipped Grab by a few months to become the first Malaysian fintech founder listed on the board. That said, MoneyLion's stock price has since plummeted about 36%. So what's going on here?
I think the market has always have its own emotion. And we, as you can see with our continuous innovations, continuous acquisition and partnerings, we are still very bullish on the fundamentals of MoneyLion. We have a very good user base. And, we think we are going to be continuously be doing well in the next few years.
Can I ask what market share MoneyLion commands at the moment? And what are your growth targets in line with that? How big do you expect to grow following this IPO listing?
That's a good question. And it is a very complex question. Being a full suite financial tech player, it becomes very hard to actually even honestly trying to measure market shares. For example, if you want to measure the saving in the US, what they call the checking account market share, it will be small because you're competing with the likes of JP Morgan, Citibank, and people like Chime, the newest Enviro, and all these newest fintech players, right? So that will be small. But if you're talking about like credit builder loans or Instacash, that will be significantly bigger. And there are no like public data about it. But I think for something like Instacash, we can be at least like the top three or top five in the US itself. And especially with fintech like us, unlike traditional bank where most of the product offered are reasonably similar, for most fintech, the product offered, despite the fact that it might be categorized as the same, it might have significantly different segmentation that it's targeting and potentially different features within the product itself. And thus making like a market share calculation extremely tough.
But what about metrics that would be easier? Something like users. Like how many users does MoneyLion aim to grow the number to? We see Chime having something like 13.5 million users. Is that comparable to MoneyLion?
Strictly speaking, Chime is much bigger from a checking account standpoint. I don't think Chime offer other products that we are offering. So we have about 2.7 million active users, and in general, having about 8 to 9 million users sign up and passive users within our ecosystems. And the definition of active users, to be honest, sometimes it becomes quite hairy as well. Because if you look at investment, right? Investment is something that you invest for the long term, and the users are not supposed to interact with your platform if they do it right. And however, something like Instacash, which is a lot more high frequency most of the time. But then again, it's also a credit product where, like I say, when they have 3 months out of a year where they have credit crunch, they will come and use it. But when they do not have credit crunch, then they shouldn't be using it. So it depends on the definition of active users.
Okay.
And obviously with the checking account, it's a different definition. So like I said, running this kind of business, it become an applied math problem most of the time. And that's why we have, I think, a total of about 60 data scientists out there dealing with this kind of stuff.
Okay, but can you give us a target in terms of however you want to quantify it? What is your target for active customers in the near to medium term?
I think we are going to be very aggressive about it. Again, there will be different type of product that will be rolled out within the next year or so with BNPL, with different type of embedded finances product, which means that we might acquire a user that come to us that might use one or two of our product. However, because of embedded finance, we are able to offer different type of financial product for our users, including like insurance and whatnot, or different type of spectrum of loans to our users. And that's why we are extremely bullish on the growth of our active users or our general users in general going forward.
You have seen impressive growth so far, but MoneyLion is still loss-making based on recent results. So when do you foresee becoming net profitable, and what would this target be predicated on?
It's a good question. And the truth is that is the question as a founder of the company and as a person who executes a lot of strategy for the company. On a daily basis, you think about how much of capital that you want to invest into the company so that they can grow faster. And that is something that we have committed to, which we have committed to growth at least for the next 3 years. Most of the capital that we have, we will be plowing into our growth strategy, and we're probably not going to be making profit anytime soon.
Okay, you have that in mind at least. And yeah. I suppose you're managing expectations of your investors as well.
Yes. That's it. We are extremely keen on the unit economics in such a way that we are extremely adamant that the unit economics has to make sense, has to be positive. And however, if we need to spend our extra cash on marketing, on trying to grow the user base, that's what we're going to do.
I'd like to get your thoughts on how you think MoneyLion would be affected by the changing interest rate environment. So the U.S. Federal Reserve has signaled that it's going to hike interest rates in response to inflationary pressures. Do you see this having a significant impact on your earnings?
That's an interesting question. And as you know, even when the U.S. Fed say so, there are multiple camps that that are extremely convicted, either that they will do it or not do it. The macroeconomics prediction of it is something that I generally try to stay out of because it can happen both ways. Some people will say that the Fed will have no choice but to increase the rate to reduce the inflation, but some of them is that they will say that they don't have the choice but not to increase the rate simply because of the debt repayment of the government will be too much. So it's hard to say, but for us is that we hope there won't be a recession. And if there is a recession, what we'll have to do is that we'll have to, again, pivot some of our products to cater to this kind of macroeconomic environment. But then again, we have lived through at least one cycle of economic downturn. So we are reasonably confident that we will be able to evolve along with the trend.
Okay. MoneyLion is only available in the U.S. at the moment. Do you have plans to expand beyond U.S. borders? And is there a timeline for that?
We are always ambitious of trying to get out of the United States and be able to expand what we are providing to essentially middle income around the world. And we are looking around, and as you know, we are based in Malaysia, and thus it makes sense for us to have certain presence in Malaysia. But we also have no illusion whatsoever that we know the Malaysian market or the Asian market very well. So we're actively looking for partners that know the market very well and be able to do interesting stuff then. So yeah, we want to do some to expand our market, especially to Southeast Asia. Unfortunately, I can't comment on the concrete plans yet.
Okay. Does your expansion to Asia hinge upon the acquisition of a digital banking license, whether in Malaysia or elsewhere? I mean, is it important to have that kind of licensing in hand before you actually start any expansion plans?
Again, what we want to do is to use, if you look at MoneyLion, our advantage comes from the tech and artificial intelligence. So what we can, it will be nice if we have the right regulatory tool to be able to captivate the market. However, that it doesn't hinge just entirely on that because the engine that we have built, the IP that we have built, will be able to help anyone with these kind of licenses. And so that's why we are looking for local partners who know the market very well.
Does that mean that you may not offer the exact specific services in the U.S. In Asia, it could be like a whole new suite of offerings, perhaps?
The thing is that as a person who have designed financial services for millions of people, you know that there is no such thing as copy and paste of financial services. And multiple reasons to it. The first one is that the need and the income, the economics of each segmentation of people, they don't just vary across nation. Even in the U.S., the need of like a Chicago person, a middle-income Chicago person, is very different from a Texas person, definitely in Malaysia as well. So we intend to leverage our experience in product design into the market, but we know for a fact that there will not be copy and paste because that's the biggest recipe for disaster.
Okay, Chibun, thank you so much for speaking to me today. And I look forward to speaking to you again in the future when you make it to Asian shores officially.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Fung Chibun, Chief Technology Officer and co-founder of MoneyLion. This has been The Breakfast Grill, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.